So Shasha, the Rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rabbi?
Thank God. Good.
Very good. So I found the song that I'm going to throw every time before our interview.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So Parshat Truma.
Right. So you're alone in the studio today?
I'm alone, but Nativ just texted me. She's on her way.
Wow, okay. So I was going to say, do I say good morning in Nativ too? I didn't hear. I don't know.
You can say. I will pass it to her.
All right, yes. Yeah, so this week's Torah portion is Parshat Truma. And it's all about, obviously, the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, preparing the different things that have to be built, the menorah, the showbread, the ark, so on and so forth, and how it was supposed to be built. And the people of Israel were called upon to contribute 13 materials, you know, gold, silver, copper,
yeah,
blue, purple, red dyed wool and flax and goat hair and some wood and olive oil and spices, so on and so forth, in order that they shall make for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell amidst them. And on the summit of Mount Sinai, Moses is given details, instructions on how to construct a dwelling for God, that it should be perfect, and it also should be readily to be dismantled, transported, and reassembled quickly,
yeah,
as soon as the people journeyed in the desert.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because we see that one of the ideas that is brought down in this week's portion, you know, it says that Masa Avot Siman Labanim.
Yeah.
Our sages have told us that the stories related to us about our forefathers serve as a sign for the children, in other words, for us.
Yeah.
And this means that Torah is not merely a compilation of fascinating stories, because as the Zohar says, the word Torah stems from the word Hora'ah, which means guidance and teaching.
Yeah.
So in this week's parasha, we learn from the construction, as I just said, of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, and it says that the walls were made from shittim, from cedar wood.
Yeah.
And Rashi, the main commentator on the Torah, asks a very famous question, and a very simple question. From where did they have the shittim wood, the cedar wood, in the wilderness? In the wilderness, there's no trees. There's no wood.
Desert,
and they were creating...
Desert.
I'm sorry?
Desert.
Right, the desert. And they were creating this Mishkan tabernacle in the desert. And the answer to this question was given by Rabbi Tanchuma in the Medrash, who is the main commentator. And he says like this, our forefather Jacob, Yaakov, foresaw through divine inspiration, the Jews were destined to build a Mishkan in the wilderness, a tabernacle in the wilderness. He therefore bought shittim trees with him when he descended to Egypt from his home and planted them there. And he commanded his sons to take them with them when they would depart from Egypt some 210 years later, which is fascinating, which is amazing that he can think of something like this. They then schlepped this timber with them, even crossing the sea with it, and that's how they did it. So in fact, as well, the Gemara, the Talmud says that although in the wilderness the Jews lived on manna from heaven, God gave them man, food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at times they would purchase items from, as it says in the Gemara, Tagre Akum, from Gentile peddlers. People would be going through a little bit, so they got a little bit of money. We'll see in a second how. And because of that, they were able to buy some stuff. You know, it's brought down that with the man that came down, some jewels and things came down with it. And because of that, they were able to purchase different things. And so the question is, if they were able to buy through peddlers and whatever they were able to do, why was it necessary for Yaakov to plant trees and instruct his children to carry them out of Egypt? Simply, couldn't they have arranged with the peddlers to bring them lumber to purchase? We have a little bit of money, we have a little bit of jewelry and that thing. Go get us lumber and we'll put it. And moreover, the Gemara explains that they continued to bring free will gifts morning after morning.
Very generous.
Exactly. Very, very generous. And they got very precious stones, as I just said, and pearls that came down together with the month. And thus, every morning they received many of new materials needed for the Mishkan, the gold, and so on and so forth. If so, Yaakov, instead of Yaakov, you know, telling them to bring the timber and everything from Egypt, the Jews could have just miraculously found those things there. The fact that, you know, all these things were falling from heaven, what was so hard for God to make it a little bit more, to make them a miraculous thing? The fact that they were in the desert and had everything was miraculous. And in this is really teaching us a phenomenal lesson. In every generation, the popular dream and goal of young people is to construct their own new home. And often, the younger generation becomes accustomed to modern ideas and ideals. And to demonstrate their so-called progress, they bring their modern ideas and ideals into their homes. And in so, a lot of the time, unfortunately, detaches them from any spiritual aspect, any spiritual sense of godliness of Torah in their lives. So by telling us this idea that Yaakov was telling us in this week's parsha by planting, well, it teaches us that a true Jewish home should reflect, quote unquote, the styles, in other words, the tradition and heritage of our forefathers. That we should strive to build a home to emulate the spirit that prevailed in the home of our ancestors. So such a home becomes a miniature sanctuary for God to dwell in. But this can only happen through our work. For all these miracles, for everything to just happen in the desert, okay, God is going to give us all the wood and everything. No! God will give us what we need, but we have to get involved. We have to work it. We have to bring the cedar trees and wood out of Egypt, through the desert, through the water, and then work on it to be able to make what we need to make. Things don't come easy. We're not supposed to rely on miracles. And that is our job in our lives. God will give us what we need. But we have to be the second part of that, the counterpart, to be able to build and to be able to make. So I want to give a bracha, a blessing, that each one of us should be able to build a Mishkan, a tabernacle, in our home, that we can feel comfortable to allow God to rest and come down into our home. And I think that is an important lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion. And in a little over a week is Purim. Sunday, March 12th is Purim, and we're going to be having our annual big community Purim party, which is, the theme of this year is going to be Purim Under the Sea. And the menu is going to be wonderful. It's going to be a lot of fishes and pastas and so on and so forth, as well as we're going to have an abundance of sushi, fresh sushi that is going to be made that day. Not at the actual party, but just before the party. We have four sushi chefs coming in to be able to make as much sushi as they can make and as much hours as they're able to do.
When you're under the sea, you're under the sea.
That is correct. You're under the water. You have to come and try and get to the top. But anyway, it is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a lot of good food, as well as we're going to have great entertainment. We're going to have an exotic animal presentation with snakes and lizards and crocodiles and little ones, I think, and a kangaroo as well that will be around. He will be safe, not to worry everyone. I'm getting a lot of calls. They're so dangerous. It'll be fine. They know exactly what they're doing. And there's going to obviously be prizes for all the kids that are dressed up in costumes. And any adult that's dressed up and feels that they're a kid, we can try and arrange a prize for them as well. There's going to be arts and crafts for the kids, music. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Please, we need people to RSVP so we can make sure that we have enough food for everyone. They can call me, they can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com. And if they don't have my number or anything, they could always go call one of the Bethel or Shara Shemaim to just say they want to RSVP and they can relay the message to me. Either way, make sure you get your RSVP in so we make sure that we
have some sushi for you.
That's right. And so it's going to start at 4:30 will be the Megillah reading. It's a Sunday, so it's a great time to get out. 5 o'clock we'll start dinner and entertainment. An adult is $20, and a child 12 and under is free through a generous sponsor in the community that is sponsoring the children.
That's great. It sounds like it's going to be really fun and happy there.
It will be. That I can guarantee you.
מי שנכנס אדר מרבים בשמחה.
That's right. From today, from a couple of days ago, we have to be happy. All month.
Yeah. Waiting for Adar.
That's right.
Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
Services Friday night is 6:15. Shabbat morning is at 9:30. And Sunday morning is 8:15 in the Shar Chapel, followed by breakfast. Good breakfast. And Monday and Thursday is 7:15 at the Paris House. Great way to start the week.
Sounds good. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too.
And God willing, we'll talk next week.
That is correct. And don't forget to put on, and don't forget to download or whatever you have to do to make sure that song, Shasha.
Shasha is going to be there next week too. Don't worry.
That's good. I didn't hear a sound today. Everyone was quiet.
Yeah, because there were instructions. Sha. Rebbe is here.
That's right.
That's it.
Ilan,
thank you
have
again.
A great week. We'll talk next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.